is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution of Juan McCartney is sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Bus and Truck, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Bonneville Bones, Atlantis Paradise Island, Marlin Marine, and Wendy's.
Here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Unless you have been asleep for the past few days, you would know that tomorrow is Labor Day. It is a day when we celebrate workers throughout the country. All right. And I say workers specifically because though the unions always celebrate Labor Day very publicly, Labor Day is about all workers in this country. All right. So from the police officers, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, who keep us safe, who are on the front lines of COVID-19, their workers who we're celebrating on Labor Day, the nurses who are on the front lines of COVID-19, the doctors, the people who make the hospitals tick and run, the people in the public service who, you could argue, could perhaps be more productive, but for years have made this thing called the government and society at large function, all right? Because we do have a functioning society, although sometimes we may question that, all right? We're talking about journalists who cover news stories, who try to keep the government accountable. These are workers who we're celebrating. To our folks who work in the tourism industry, the people who greet our guests and take care of them and serve them, all right, and do it with a smile on their face to make this experience more memorable and to have people always coming back to the Bahamas over and again. You're the ones who we celebrate on Labor Day. Those of you who are working in stores right now, who are serving customers, who are stocking shelves, who are transporting goods back and forth, we celebrate you, the public service drivers who are shuttling around people in jitneys, who are making sure that goods get to and fro. You're the ones we're celebrating on Labor Day. So for all the workers in the country, Labor Day is for you. Now, what we can commemorate on Labor Day, absolutely in terms of unions, is the fact that without the trade union movement, we would not have a Labor Day to celebrate, all right? Trade union movement has deep roots in this country. We had a riot, the Burma Road Riot in 1942, which was unfortunate. Many people died. Many businesses were destroyed, but numerous people went to prison. But out of that still came something very good. So we got the Trade Union Act out of that, all right, in a minority-ruled, white-controlled Bahamas. We got the Workers Act out of that in a Bay Street Boys-ruled parliament. They still recognized workers. In the 50s, we had the General Strike, 58, all right? It's Randolph Fox. They organized the blockade at the airport. Workers went on strike. And from that, we got even more rights. So the trade union movement has been integral in what we have after majority rule, after independence. The fact that you have all these benefits as private workers came through unions agitating for your rights. And so here to talk about Labor Day, which I explain is about all workers, are some trade union leaders to talk about these issues, because here's what's true. At the end of the day, aside from sleeping, what you probably spend most of your day doing is working. All right. And so you want to have the most comfortable, conducive work environment possible. And agitating on the front lines for that all these years have been trade unions. All right. So we are very appreciative of the trade unions. The trade union movement is not without its flaws. There's a lot of stuff to improve. So let's talk about all that today. So joining me, I got Bernard Evans, who's the president of the NCTUB. Cherie Benjamin, who's the third vice president of NCTUB. And I got Dave Beckford, who's the president of the Bahamas General...
Vice president
of the Bahamas General Workers Union. So we were talking earlier this week, and we had spoken about the Atlantis issue. And we could circle back to that. But you're saying to me that the trade union movement now has what's called a workers agenda that envisages what's the way forward for workers in the country. So talk to me about that, and then we'll get into some other stuff.
First of all, good afternoon, Bahamas.
You can take that off. You're fine.
Yes. On behalf of Obie Ferguson and the Trade Union Congress and the Phillies Union, my name is Dave Beckford. And like you said, Juan, the TUC has put forth a workers' agenda, which I believe for the most part is also endorsed by the NCTUB, Mr. Bernard Evans and others, just outlining some stuff about, what we feel affecting workers today, mm-hmm. and what we think needs to be improved on. And we're saying with this agenda that those who are seeking to govern this country in the next general election, that, we want you to look at this agenda. We want you to tell us whether you endorse it. And we're saying I for you and you for me, we're not going to support you to destroy us. So there are a number of things, some of the things I'll highlight.
What are the key things?
To show. Some of the key things in here, just a second. Workers' representatives must be included in the decision-making process of the national policies and be included in all heads of agreement negotiations with investors, foreign and domestic. Workers' representative must be a part of tourism ministry negotiation with particular emphasis on the cruise industry. Government's commitment to cost the resumption with 100 days negotiation between the Bahamas Hotel Maintenance and Allied Workers Union and Sandals Bahamian Hotel and Spa in accordance with the recognition agreement between the parties, as well as negotiations and the execution of all industrial agreements in the government and quasi-government organization. Certainly, also, it's a number of them. Just want to go through a few. Section 26 redundancy should be based on years of service up to 24 weeks. Amend 26B, where an employer provides gratuity and non-contributory pension for an employee. The employee is entitled to redundancy pay. The gratuity and non-contributory pension. This benefit is now being enjoyed by workers. Again, freedom of association and protection of the rights to organize. That seems to be something that a lot of workers...
That exists now, though.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't know. A lot of them feel that they don't have the right to form a union or join a union. So again, I think that's what Bernard was talking about. We need to continue to educate.
Yeah, I would say that's the union should be responsible for
educate our workers.
Can I expand on that, bro?
Sure.
Sherry, I'm gonna let you speak right now.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and happy Labor Week and happy Labor Day. I think I've been making the rounds now, and I just want to repeat this again because I didn't do it the first time I was on the McCartney show, which is the number one show. And McCartney, I really and truly, in this 68th year of our celebration, the passing of the bill, the act itself to call for Labor Day to be a holiday, a national holiday, to celebrate the efforts and the victories of the labor movement. But again, I want to change the narrative centered around unions. Mm-hmm. okay? I think we often castigate unions in a negative light, some even questioning whether or not we should exist in this current time, that the union has done its tour of duty, is now need to pack up and go. You all are pretty much the problem. You're trying to break up the country and all this stuff. Someone suggested about the livable wage after the College of the Bahamas or University of the Bahamas cited that at least $600 a week is required minimum to live in Nassau. And a little higher, I think, about $750 in Grand Bahama. Yeah. What have you. Okay. Unions have not been getting its true recognition. And I think we have been at fault too. We're not perfect, as you said. We have our own infights of what's going on. But if it wasn't for the union, we would not have the middle class. It is the middle class that is the engine of any economy of any country. It's the middle class that could afford to go to the food stores and go to the cash register and the cash to see your bill is $400. It's the middle class who could pay that with ease. It's the middle class that hires the maids who develop small businesses, who actually carry the brunt of the engine of the country. But the middle class was created and fortified by the union. There's always enough money. But the employers are the ones who are saying, no, this is enough for you. And the worst thing we could have done was say, you know what? We would establish a minimum wage. And so now I'm only obligated, while I could pay you more, I'm only obligated to give you minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And so we want to now move forward to livable wage. But if it wasn't for the unions, you cited some of those gains that we have had, the sick day, the vacation, mm-hmm. the occupation, health and safety in the workplace and all that stuff. We have gained all those stuff. But of late, unions has come under attack. Internally and externally. We have not been emboldened by the government to ensure some of the laws that we have gained are for the protection of workers, whether within unions or without unions. And so what we've seen as a result, what we have seen, is the continuous weakening and demise of the middle class. And so now as the middle class gets smaller and shrink, you have the gap between the haves and the haves not get wider and wider. Mm-hmm. We have to change the narrative now. It's not Labor Day ought to be the biggest holiday in the country outside of Christmas when Christ was born. This is the time when all behemoths came together that started, like you said, in 1942 mm-hmm. and again in 1958, the way we had the most gains. But we can't rest on our laurels and believe that all is well. Because like termites, some employers are working daily, employing lawyers and legal fees, trying to find dents and weaknesses within those, the act itself, within the Employment Act, within the industrial agreements, trying to chip away mm-hmm. and weaken unions. The general election is every 5 years. And even in 5 years, some administrations can get their work done in 5 years. For unions, every 3 years. And so you would have a revolving door of person trying to get on the agenda to move things forward. And so while unions come under attack, unions ought to be celebrated as the bulwark to establishing the middle class, because you feed from those gains that we have done over the many, many years, over the 80 years, 79 years to be exact. But the narrative has been that we are the boogeymen, that we are the disruptors.
We are trouble.
We are the troublemakers. But if it wasn't for us and it born out of the discomfort and the unfairness in the workplace. And so we have to now shift that narrative and really, really celebrate. You ought not to be calling us once a year at Labor Week. This should be something ongoing. And I'm not asking you to change, but unless we change the narrative, unless we really put our history into the classroom from primary school throughout to tertiary education to understand what our history, where we came from, and what it means, government ought to be encouraging an environment for unions to flourish. Our Constitution says everybody deserves the right to work, decent work. Right under that, it says those who work have the right to form themselves into a union. Mm-hmm. And as such, you would go into some of these precincts, you would get the 51 signatures to support unions. The minister would then ratify and signify that this union, this shop do have the requisite numbers for a union. Employer, please sit down now and meet out on industrial relations with those employees. They refuse to come. What is the repercussion? They're supposed to be fined and or in prison if they don't. But in a place such as Cayo Bahamas, it's been almost 30 years. 30 years. And so what I'm saying is we have not in our own, how should I say it, ignorance, have realized that the people that we were fighting and the establishment that was pushing away unions is the very model that created the greatest middle class in the Western Hemisphere outside of Canada and the United States, respectively.
Now, I will say this. I understand the need for unions beyond just the gains that have been gotten in terms of working conditions, salaries, et cetera, because if you are an employer with a large number of employees, you don't really want to negotiate on a one-on-one basis with each employee. So Atlantis ain't going to negotiate with 9,000 or 6,000 line staff or whatever like this. You need a bargaining unit to satisfy some, you speak to one person who represents all those people, and that's fine. And so I recognize the need for unions, but I think, though, that a lot of people are looking at the unions and thinking that they're intransigent, and they always want more, but are not willing to give up anything. So, for instance, you have said just now on your workers' agenda that there's a right to a non, you want a right to a non-contributory pension, okay? Let's think that through. We are now in a situation where the government of the Bahamas has hundreds of millions of dollars a year in unfunded pensions because of unions. And all taxpayers have to pay it. And our debt is growing.
Yeah, but listen.
Wait, let me finish. We have, in this budget, $23 million to pay the unfunded pension for BTC, which we do not own. And by the way, you were right about BTC. We have
say
also...
Say it again.
I say you were right about BTC.
In what aspect? Right in what aspect?
In that it wasn't a good person to sell it to. Yeah, so you tried, you know what I mean? But here's my thing. We have Zednest that has millions of dollars of pension. Zednest, I think Pekisha Parker said 80% of it is unfunded. Why won't you give up anything? Why do we have to continue along this line? And you have a government of the Bahamas, you insist the government of the Bahamas pay pensions on the backs of the Bahamian people, and you're not willing to give anything.
Let me say this much. The national debt is owned by who?
All of us.
All of us,
yeah.
Including us who are agitating for pensions.
Correct.
Well, if it's my debt, then shouldn't I want it to be applied to when I can't work any longer? That I have a decent life, to maintain a decent life? Mm-hmm. We're not advocating that we didn't want to pay same things. It just conditions those arrangements that we have enjoyed over the years. Some of us still continue to enjoy them. Going forward, in some areas, they have allowed new persons coming into the business to now contribute towards our pension. A lot of us wanted to contribute as well, so we could increase our value in pension going forward. We were told we cannot; that was closed off from us.
Who told you this?
Those in charge.
Oh, really?
Yes. Those in charge. They told us that we wanted to do that. So if I leave it up to you to contribute what you want, then at the end of my working years, then I will get what you put in. But allow me to join and put in so I could double my returns.
In that instance, I can understand where you're coming from.
But let's go back to what you were saying, though, right? Sorry, can I just be right now? I can leave you here.
Go ahead.
Mr. McCartney, listen. Unions, we negotiate what we know is there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ask for things that is not there.
It ain't there.
You have employers, right? Let's move away from the government in particular. You have employers who have their shareholders and they want to satisfy their shareholders to the detriment of workers.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that. It is your company and you do what you want. But when you need labor to help you to get where you at, then you need to respect labor and what labor is asking for. We are asking for a just you. In that same phrase, just due, that is what created the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
If you now want to say do away with the middle class, that's what you're suggesting, to do away with the middle class, because it's in our agitation that we were able to create the middle class.
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
There is no way to get to the middle class by not demanding certain things.
But do you not think you've hampered certain workers by making them believe that the money is always going to come and always going to be
there? No, we have not. Listen, in most of our unions, we sign an industrial agreement. Mm-hmm. And in that industrial agreement, our responsibilities on behalf of the worker. If you ask to move 10 units, We sign off and we expect you as a union representative to move 10 units. You don't show up on this job moving 8-7 as you please, and we're supposed to represent you. You're making us look bad too. So we reneging on our contract. And so we have a three strikes out. Those who continuously violate from their part, their obligation, we say, you know what? We're not going to protect you no more. We're not going to protect you anymore. We prefer to have other workers coming in here who can live up to these agreements. However, we have a person who have transcended and went way up above and beyond the 10 units of work that have been asked for. Okay? Mm-hmm. And there are certain bonuses that we asked to be affixed to that. Do we get it? No.
No. Yeah.
But what happened? Do they receive the management? Do they receive the bonus at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, okay. Fair enough.
Sorry about that.
You go ahead.
Sorry about that. I told you to leave me so you can have the mic. You know, go ahead.
There you go.
What I wanted to say was, firstly, this week we decided to, instead of having functions where people could come and sit down, we decided to take the airwaves and try to educate the masses mm-hmm. about unions, because people do have a negative outlook on unions. They know what they hear, and they know what people like you in the media portray us to be. And so we try to change the narrative by educating them and letting them know exactly how they were able to attain the benefits that they enjoy now mm-hmm. that you know, they think just appeared. You made a comment about us, about unions not wanting to give up stuff. And it and that's not so.
Okay.
It's called negotiation.
Correct.
So if I'm sitting across the table from you and I am negotiating with you, it's a give and a take. So no unions that I know of, and I've been a trade unionist for a while, no unions that I know of sit across at the table and ask, and expect to get. They have to give up some stuff. My, I said to our former CEO at one discussion that I had with him, when you're asking me as an employee to give up stuff, you have to, and you're telling me that the organization is at a particular point, you have to show me that. And I liken, and this is the analogy that I use with him. You're telling me as a woman, a single mother who is out there asking me for assistance, or a single person, or you know, a breadwinner, mm-hmm. they're asking me for assistance because they're in need of something. They don't have enough to feed their children. And I'm going in my pocket, but I'm deciding how much I want to give you. But then before I make that decision, I'm sitting down thinking about it. And then I turn around and I look and I see you as a woman, your hair done, your nails done. You wearing Gucci, Prada, and all that stuff. But you still coming to me mm-hmm. and asking me.
I got it. So
I'm wearing, you know, I'm going to the store wearing my NNB.
I do. I understand. Yes.
So that I say all of that to say, if you want me to give up stuff, it has to be a discussion. And I have to see the value in what I'm giving up. No trade unionist that I know is that heartless that they're going to see their company going down. I've spent 35 years in my company, in my organization. I'm a proud BTC employee. I've spent 35 years, and I will never want to see BTC go under.
Right.
Never. No organization that the BCP or you represent, I would want to see go under. But if you are asking me as a labor leader to give up some stuff, tell me why. What is it going to benefit the members that I represent? How is it going to benefit me? That's all I'm saying.
And Mr. McCarthy, what you said, there are some circumstances where you don't need unions, you know. And I'll give you two of them, right? Mm-hmm. When you have benevolent employers who actually take care of their employees, mm-hmm. then obviously you don't need unions. And that's what we all advocate for. Remember I told you, unions came out of the belly of anguish and disagreements and stuff like that, right? Another thing is, when you, even with that benevolent boss, I hope you would have a written contract. And so all union is on a larger scale is a collective contract. So That's the difference. So all we're trying to do is establish a contract. So when Rao Day comes, well, let's see what you sign and be on. Let's exactly my point.
That's fine.
Okay.
Let me say this. You know, I have an agreement in my hand, right?
Right.
This is the agreement between the hotel and the union.
Right.
Now, like Bernard, I started out as a shop steward. Then I was then promoted to chief shop steward. Okay. In this book, there's rights for the employer and rights for the employee. And I know as a shop steward, we call this a Bible. I don't go nowhere without this agreement. And once there's issues and disputes, the first thing we do is get this agreement and open up and see who is on the right or the wrong side. But another thing we are told that we only show up when people are fired or the employers make decisions. But many times we also talk to our members. We encourage them to come to work on time, be productive, do the man work, leave the man things. We do this. And we tell them, well, listen, if you continue to break the rules, then there, eventually you're gonna be fired. So, but let me give an example. We gave up, we used to get triple time for holiday when I used to work.
Triple?
Triple. During the Gulf War, we agreed to cut it to half.
Right.
It's still at half.
Right.
You know, so there are things that we have given up and we haven't got back yet. You think we're going to get it back in this climate, this environment?
Let me ask you this. There's another argument about unions, which is the converse side, which the members look at. And the members go, well, why the unions aren't doing more for me? So, for instance, and here's where you get angry, right? And I've been in, particularly when John Pinder, who I want to talk about. But when John Pinder was president of the Umbrella Union, right? And his big thing was agitating for agency shop.
Right.
You know? And I would talk to workers and they would go, well, why the hell I must pay the union, right? $15, $20 a week out of my salary when I don't get no benefit out of it. I don't get what I need. I hear that argument a lot. Like, the unions aren't effective.
That's not true.
The unions don't go to bat for us. You don't hear that?
Listen.
For people who want to sign up for agency shop?
Listen. The agencies, the person in the agency shop, let me tell you what they benefit from, right? When they walk into an area that is unionized, okay, they have an option not to join the union, okay?
Right.
But every benefit afforded them, is in the industrial agreement that they fall outside of. So why should they walk on the job and maintain the benefits that's negotiated? As a matter of fact, while they're on the job and they're still not a member of the union, they're still agency shop or whatever, any gains by the union themselves, right, they also benefit. All right? And so the law says, well, that's not fair. If you could stay outside, but you at least paid 90% of the dues. You know why? Because you're benefiting like you're a true member. The only difference is if you're in trouble, we can't represent you.
Right.
All right? But as for the member who are there crying and say, but the union ain't do nothing for me, it's that's what have you done for me lately? Because you can get increases, benefits after benefits that you don't labor for. You met it on the table. You met the table spread. But because now nothing has changed for you, maybe there's a little gap in between your promotions, you cry that the union hasn't done anything.
But there's also a cry that the union representatives sit on the tripartite council, right? They have one-on-one relationships with government, but yet they can't move the dial on labor legislation with the government. The last time was during the last Christie administration after Sandals shut down.
Yeah.
That was the last significant change
I can speak to that. And we are proud to have the NTC.
Yeah, and here's the thing, right? So you said, Dave said, that you're agitating for 24 weeks of redundancy pay, which I think that makes sense. Why is it now capped at 12 weeks? It speaks to the effectiveness of the unions to actually move the dial on legislation.
No,
so you haven't been effective in this
regard. No, we haven't. But let me speak to that.
From it reduced, we had a problem.
Yeah, let me ask.
I know you got a problem with it, but you can't do nothing about it, is my point.
McCartney, no,
or can you?
We could try. Listen, there's a lot of things we want for workers, all right, that it took, in some cases, in the Boehmer Road, it took death.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
All right. And but you continue to agitate. It isn't that we were looking for 24 weeks, or we go beyond the 12 years. In Antigua and Barbuda and other Caribbean countries, there's no cap.
I agree with that.
10, 15 years. So that is what initially that's what we've asked for, you know. And so we say, you know what? Let's get there incrementally. Let's move it though from 12. It's very unfortunate that someone been in an employee like Sherry's case, 35 years on the job, and they only responded for 12 years.
Right.
You understand?
26. Right.
And so we suggested then, as a halfway point, again, like Sherry's saying, negotiate. Let's move it to at least 12 years. I mean, 24 weeks. All right? The hotel associate, everybody, oh, no, we better close down. So the government get alligator ants and say, you know what, it's better.
They always use that.
Let's just leave that alone.
And we'll talk about government.
And my threat is another thing is, man, let them close. Because it's not that everybody's retiring every day. This is right. not something that you have to pay every week or every day. You know, you may have a few people and want to see what impact that would have. And so these we keep on agitating. Unless we go there and, like, you all have us as the bad boys, the bully, the disruptors. If that is what you all want us to do, then I guess we will have no choice. But it should be a collective effort. Every working Bahamian should be supporting that if I work for every year on the job, you should give me 2 weeks' pay. Mm-hmm. That should be a call and cry. That should be a common cry for every worker in this country. Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But just to add with Mr. Adam, I'm an example also. Mm-hmm. I worked in Lyons for 26 years.
Right.
I think it was about 22 or 21 years when I started there. I was just let go in December. But I paid up to 12 years. Your years of service, particularly in the tourism industry, to me, it basically just don't even count.
Yeah, I think it's a slap in the face.
I mean, as a landscaper, my salary is $308 a week. You talk about working for a multi-million dollar company. These people have made millions of dollars on the backs of workers. So why at the end of the day, you can't retire with dignity? You can't walk away with a few thousand dollars for your years of service. That has to change.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Like you say, we just got to work hard on having to change. But I don't think that y'all really understand the difficulty we have with trying to get things changed with the government.
All right, but we got a phone call and we got text too. So let's go to the phone call. I don't have any headphones, so I can't hear the caller. But caller, if you're there, welcome to the revolution. And or Bernard's gonna lend me his headphones. What's do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Juan, how you doing?
I'm great.
Okay, and good afternoon to all of the unionists in the house. Great conversation, by the way. Very progressive. What I wanted to add, you all were touching on 2 points earlier. One, I just wanted to highlight them. Where Mr. Evans was speaking to. Mr. Beckford speaking to the contributory pension.
Yeah.
You can hear me, Juan?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, yeah. Juan, that's something that is so critical. As a matter of fact, in my years of service in government, dating back to the days before I was victimized, it would be almost 20 years. I've been speaking about that from my first year in, because I recognize, Juan, if you look around at other government quasi agencies such as National Insurance, such as BPL. You have persons such as tourism. You have persons in their retirement one. When they retire after 30 years of service, because they were able to make a contribution towards their pension, some of them retire with up to $1 million one. $1 million in cash versus the menial amount that you get from the non-contributory pension, which limits you in your scope of what you can receive. As a matter of fact, I believe that there needs to be a vast education around the contributory pension scheme, because, one, that is a savings, that is an investment savings portfolio, in essence, that you are building up every month or every week that you get paid. And that is the perspective that something of that sort should be considered from. Because at the end of the day, if you want to live, as Mr. Beckford said, with some decency when you retire off of that job, we need to move to that kind of consideration. But also on the next end, Juan, as it relates to labor in our country and the importance. Can you hear me, Juan?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. And the importance of labor in our country. Juan, I am so impressed and taken by the President of the United States, because he recognized that he came from a family that was built on labor in the United States of America, where the life that he was afforded was as a result of the strength of the labor movement in the United States. And he's doing everything in his presidential power to ensure that if billions are made or trillions are made in America, that the laborers in the country get their fair share of that billion or trillion or whatever the amount is that is made in America, because it makes no sense after working a 40-hour week or a 60-hour week, depending on your trade, it makes no sense you are the working poor in your country when you have a GDP that is valued in the billions of dollars. Thank you for the opportunity. Continue the great work, gentlemen and women in studio and all of the laborers in the country. And happy Labor Day to all of the workers across the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Thank you, Juan. God bless.
Okay. Happy Labor Day. Let's get some... we got Tex. Says, Juan, poor negotiations are why hotel workers are only paid for 12 years of service, and the government allowed this. Public servants get paid for all their years. These union leaders need to learn proper negotiation skills. No one should be paid less time than they worked. I also ask Dave why we haven't gotten a raise for 9 years and we continue to pay dues.
Well, I'll say this. I am a former candidate. I ran for the leadership of the union. I was not successful. I had an issue with negotiations, the way how it went.
They're not negotiating it at all, no.
Because I felt like a proposal was not submitted on time, but I think one is already in now. But again, I don't want to say too much about it, but at the end of the day, it's not my fault. I was not an executive of the union. I remained a line staff up to the time until I was terminated from Atlantis. But I did have some concerns about it, and it's unfortunate that we don't have a registered industrial agreement in place, whereas like these 700 workers, they would have been entitled to get an increase in salary and their back pay. But hopefully we will get one soon.
You get there. All right, we get another phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you doing?
I'm good. How is it going?
Excellent. And good afternoon to all your guests in studio.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Evans in particular, I'd like to personally congratulate you, sir, for the excellent work you have been doing over the past few days in educating the public of the importance of trade unions and unions in this country. Mm-hmm. Many persons have been crying for quite some time with a false narrative that unions, we don't need unions in this country. However, I'm going to tell you, being a former trade, being a part of the hotel union and seeing the atrocities that many employees try to exploit workers while working on their premises. If the human people were sensitized enough to see what actually goes down, then they begin to understand why unions are very important. In fact, unions are very important even more than ever today, because we see there a lot of our people, you know, are being exploited. When you look at the bottom line, such as many of these persons come to this country to make money, their money is made at the, on the backs of the human workers. We carry the load for them. They carry the profits, but we carry the measly salaries at home, back at home. So it is very important that we must, and Brother Evans, you are absolutely correct, of course, on this point, the education level and the importance of bringing to the mindset of our people to know what their rights are, what the power that they hold in their hands to craft their destiny. I think that is what's even more important, more than anything. So continue the great work. Happy Labor Day to each and every Bahamian worker. In fact, all laborers in this country, and let's continue to make this Bahamas a prosperous nation that we all can live in comfortably. Thank you, Juan, for the opportunity. God bless.
Okay, thanks. Happy Labor Day there, Jeff. Let's do one more call, and then I guess we got a break because we blew through the commercial break. So, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, turn your radio down, please, and just listen to me on the phone.
Okay, thank you. There we go.
Okay.
Hi.
Yes. Sure.
A lot of callers and stuff is like make comparison to the U.S. economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just have federal tax, this tax, and whatever other tax. So when their benefits come out or their paycheck get cut half in half, they make it $300 or $600 a week, and they only carry on $300 a week. They could afford to look for those benefits whenever an occasion arrives, like unemployment or social security or whatever. They pay their taxes.
Right.
You know, so at the end of the day, you have a lot of people looking for big benefits in the Bahamas, they need to compare our taxation to other countries would have similar.
I see. Are you saying that we're comparing apples to oranges, or are you saying that we are asking for things that we're not willing to contribute toward?
That's to all both.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for that. What do you say to that before we go to a break?
I agree to her. It's not that we are trying to compare ourselves or we want the same benefits. I'll go back and say this before we go to the break. As BMP, we are done with inalienable rights. And the rest of the right to work, the right to be represented, the right to form a union. When we sit down to negotiate, we sit down and negotiate those truths, those benefits that are natural to every human being. So everybody wants success. Everybody wants to be able to take in their family, a sense of security, what have you. It was always the union looking for some safety net that we could contribute to. For instance, NIB. We are all contributing to NIB as a safety net. Now we have NHI coming up. And then hopefully we'll have a national pension, real pension, with mobility, that people move from job to job, they carry that pension with them. And so we're looking for those truths that are common to every human being. And so not so much we can learn and glean from America or from those top 10 economies from around the world. But we're not saying we want the same thing. Everything is commensurate. We know what we have in the Bahamas, given the GDP that we have, that we keep bragging about how expensive it is to live in this country. But yet, are we trying to put legislation in place so that our people will have a living chance to be able to get up above poverty? And so this is what we're agitating. We're not trying to say we want all these bells and whistles and we're not willing to pay for it. Of course, because whether we like it or not, every time the government borrows, like a child that's born yesterday, they're already almost $30,000 in debt.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. We got Bernard Evans, we got Sherry Benjamin, and we got Dave Beckford from the labor movement in studio today as we anticipate Labor Day tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news break.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Bonneville Bones is here for you, this and every Father's Day. So let's make Dad feel extra special with a statement in fashion. We have the best options for every occasion, and your dad deserves
it. Make a statement in fashion, only at Bonneville Bones.
Leather shoes, we got it. Cufflinks, stitches, spotted. Chinos, linen, pocket piece, fresh. Shop with us, we got it. The best.
Bonneville Bones, located in the Mall at Marathon and Bay and George Street.
You asked for it, and now it's here. Introducing the all-new plant-based Rebel Whopper only at Burger King Nassau. The new Rebel Whopper is everything you expect in a Whopper with a meatless plant-based patty that is flame-grilled to perfection with all the fixings you love on that famous sesame seed bun. Come try out the new Rebel Whopper with fries and a Pepsi and see if you can tell the difference. The Rebel Whopper is 100% Whopper, 0% beef, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details. Post your pictures with hashtag Atlantis Staycation for winning details.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Croc Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Back for a limited time at Popeyes. Come in and get your ripping chicken today. Enjoy an all-white meat chicken breast, partially cut into pull-apart strips, which are slow marinated in a blend of Louisiana seasoning, then hand-battered into a crispy southern breading and deep-fried. Rip this special out of any Popeyes today, along with two signature sides, a biscuit and sauce for just $7.50 fat-inclusive.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Marlin Marine is going digital to better serve you. Check out our digital showroom at marlin-marine.com or visit our Facebook page and select Shop to view our stock, speak with a sales agent, or request a quote. Be prepared this hurricane season with our lineup of Generac portable and standby generators. Our diesel and LP standby generators give you clean, uninterrupted power, while our portable generators provide convenient power where you need it, keeping you connected no matter the conditions. Find the Generac that best suits you. Contact Marlin Marine today and our sales agents will be sure to help. Call 393-7873, visit marlin-marine.com, and follow our social media pages to stay updated on our latest products. When the power cuts out, Generac steps in. So get your Generac generator today at Marlin Marine, giving you power on land and sea.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are speaking about Labor Day tomorrow. And the conversation today, I'm joined by Cherie Benjamin from the NCTUB, Dave Beckford from the Bahamas General Workers Union, as well as Bernard Evans from the NCTUB. People have been sending in text messages, so I do want to get through some of these before we introduce some different topics into our discussion. It says the accountants. Accountants are workers too. We celebrate them. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the workers we celebrate on Labor Day. It says, will the livable wage coincide with qualifications or just anybody should be entitled to? Any responsibility on the employee to self-improve? We have to ensure we send the correct message to employees that self-improvement is most important. Agreed. This says, as a former member of a union at my previous job, I am very disappointed in union leaders today because they're too political. Leave the governance to the government and go after empowering your members academically and improving themselves to be better employees. And please don't bring those two rowdy women from the nurses and teachers unions on. Okay. I mean, I think that...
passionate.
I wouldn't call him rowdy. No, 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 Wilson and Amasha
Williams. As a female, I have to defend those two rowdy women because at the end of the day, what you see from them, they speak their mind and they speak their truth. And as a female, I know that a lot of males tend to marginalize us as female leaders. Mm. And so, you know, one person said to me the other day, they referred to a popular bishop saying that any woman who sits on the pulpit is out of order. And so I said to them, what reference are you making? You know, men just have a belief that women rule in the house and they're not supposed to be in leadership. But because the ineffectiveness of men to be leaders and to be breadwinners and to be providers and caretakers of their family caused us as females to go out there.
Step up, man.
And to take our place, or take their place, I should say. And to be dominant, whatever you give us. You know, the old adage says, if you give a woman a bread, she's going to make a meal. You know, you give her a sperm, she can make a baby. Whatever you give a woman, she's going to multiply that. She's going to make that into something. And so when you see the rowdy woman from BUT and the rowdy woman from the nurses union or any woman that you see speaking out, they call us rowdy. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're rowdy. We are just out there letting our voice be heard. You can have a male counterpart doing the same thing, saying the same thing, but they're not going to be called rowdy. But because we are women, and so anybody speaking negatively about any one of my sisters, I'm going to defend them.
Let me tell you, I have met Belinda because I was vice president of the PTA Association at AFI, where my son is at. So I've met Belinda, and I've seen Belinda, and I know Amancha Williams, president of the Nurses Union. I don't agree with that text. They are very passionate and strong about what they're doing. And I think a lot of times you need to look at what they're actually saying and what they're trying to accomplish. They're not out there just doing this off of air to make themselves look good. They're actually talking to the issues.
Yeah, but I think that they, you got to contextualize it. So you call them rowdy. They are outspoken, no doubt, yes. Right? But they have thousands of members. These are two of the largest unions in the country.
Right.
They have thousands of members that they're trying to protect. So at the end of the day, they got to go back to the teachers and back to the nurses and show, what did you do? What did you say when we told you this was a problem?
But
you
by must the way, agree. Most of the members of most of the members of female
are women as well.
But you must agree that as women, whatever we do, we have to do it twice as harder as a male, because for me, as a female, I started in BTC as a technician. I started out in the manholes splicing cables. I had to be twice as good as my male counterparts to get any recognition. The reason being because I was a female in a male-dominated environment. And so, of course, most people look at trade unionism as a male-dominated environment. That is something that men are supposed to do. Men are supposed to be out there speaking, or women supposed to be seen and not heard. Mm. That's not the case now. That may have been the case back 50, 100 years ago. That's not the case now. And so whatever we do to get the respect that we deserve, it shouldn't be so, but we have to speak twice as hard.
Twice as loud to be heard.
Twice as loud to be heard. Sure. And that is an issue I have. I ran for president in our union the last 3 years ago. And one of the criticisms that I got, which I felt it was unfair for me, as hard as I worked to defend people, a lot of people said, oh, she's too aggressive. She's too aggressive.
Yeah.
But again, I have to be aggressive in speaking my truth or defending my people and trying to get my message across, because a lot of times the male across the room from me wouldn't even listen to me, because for once, the minute they look at me at first glance, they think I'm this little quiet little thing until I start opening my mouth, and then they treat me how they see me. So if I want you to respect me. I'm going to put myself in a position where you have to respect me. And sometimes that means that I have to be a little bit louder than my male counterparts or a little bit more. And for me, I could just look at people and people say, okay, she didn't want. You know, you just, as a female, we have to do a little bit of extra, yeah, more than what a man would have to do.
Okay.
So give us a break.
Absolutely.
One, I think there was a texter that was speaking about what's the qualification or justification for livable wages.
Livable wage, yeah.
Yeah, well, the cost of living, life's always going up.
Life is a justification. Inflation.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, especially for single mothers who are sole breadwinners, who have to pay rent or to take care of their children. Yeah, I mean, minimum wage is what, $2.50?
$2.10, $2.50 for government.
$2.10, $2.50. You know, so yeah, and I must say, Mr. President Obie Ferguson, and before that information came out from UTEP, was that he thought that the living wage should be $300 to $350 a week. Definitely. I mean, we've had two VAT increases. That's taxes on me and you.
Yeah, I don't see how it's possible, you know, to live on under $300 a week.
But again, we're going again, this is another area that we are faulted. We do talk about productivity. We do encourage good industrial relations. We do encourage workers to put their best foot forward to come to work on time and to do their work. You know, we always do. You know.
Okay, let me get to a phone call and then some text messages. Sorry, I didn't mean to toss that at you. Some text messages here. This says, actually, let's do the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Bernard Evans is at leave, by the way. He had another commitment. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Forgive my enthusiasm. If yes, one, I'd appreciate it. If no, I understand. Can I make one more contribution, please?
If you do it quickly, sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much. The other day when Mr. Evans was on your show, and Mr. Beckford earlier, I think it was yesterday or the day before, right? They revealed on your show, and it wasn't highlighted, that the minister in their private communication of labor told them that he was given notice by the Atlantis Group of the impending redundancy exercise of 10% of their staff, 700.
Okay.
And that is not so. Thanks to your show, Warren, because it was revealed on your show that the minister explained to the reporters that he had just been notified the day before. And I heard Mr. Obie Ferguson and Mr. Bernard Evans speak to that fact earlier today. And so the Minister of Labor has some explaining to do, because he's saying one thing to reporters and misleading the labor union leaders in their private communication. And also the Minister of Health is living in that same fantasy land as the Minister of Finance. Thank God for the former Minister of Health. I was waiting, because 2 days ago when I heard Remmett Wells speak about COVID-19 and the vaccinations that is required, I thought I was in a fantasy land, in all honesty. I was happy to hear Minister the competent minister, former Minister of Health, Dr. Dwayne Sands, explain what the reality is in terms of what percentage we really need to have vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity.
Okay. All right. Let's go to a different call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
You got a great calling the show back again and again and again. You hear this back again yesterday on
that. No, it's too much. It's too much. I'm gonna stop allowing it, because
I don't call it being me for stupid, though. Okay, one.
Yeah. Okay.
The kind of work I do, one, I do construction work.
Yeah.
And I teach a lot of people my construction. So anybody who works with me, they can do that, but every other thing. Mm-hmm. They qualify for money, I pay them. Okay? Now, what's happening now? I heard Mr. Evans saying, I pay a guy $200 a help us a long time before a big company. I pay my national insurance, I pay my wife, I pay everything. I pay government taxes and everything. See, but a lot of people want a bunch of money and they ain't qualified. Well, the thing, before I hire a guy who just come out of college, I'm hire a guy who got 25 years with in construction field. I got to watch him, I have to show him nothing. You know, the president come up, you know, my side of the awake. We need to stop packing up the people, man. Then they come back to school. I got to recertify. That's all we need to do in this country. Stop crying. I'm going to take my call, man.
Okay. Thanks, my brother. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
I'd like to make a call.
Okay.
To that point, and the previous caller, point where he talked about livable wages.
Mm-hmm.
Livable wages is the minimum wage that someone should be able to live or survive by. When you talk about education, if you want someone who's educated, you have to pay for that. And so all we're asking is that, listen, these people and some people who don't have education, who don't have papers, are much more skilled. And the caller said that, and that's why I was kind of confused with what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He has skilled workers who know the job, and he would pay them over persons who come from college and don't have the experience. You have a lot of persons who can do the work, but they don't have the papers.
Right.
Some people just don't test well. Some people don't do school well, but they're very, very technical, or they're very, very hands-on.
Yeah.
If someone has a degree and they have experience, you can't pay them livable wages. You have to go.
You got to pay them for the degree,
exactly.
Yeah. And the experience.
Pay them their worth.
Exactly.
So what they are confusing is they're thinking that, okay, so you have livable wages, you have to have a degree. No.
I think the debate, though, is that when the University of the Bahamas talks about a livable wage, and I think we may be both saying the same thing, but here's what I think the difference is. They're saying a decent standard of life.
Exactly. Yes.
All right? Now, a decent standard of life and survival are two different things. And I think a minimum wage is what you're trying to establish. Can a person survive off of this wage? And a livable wage is, can a person have a decent standard of life? And I think we have to stop looking at it in terms of, we're only concerned if people can survive. I think we need to start looking at it in terms of, we want people to have a decent standard of life. And how we get there is a conversation we all have to have in terms of work experience, in terms of education, in terms of social programs, in terms of the cost of living, affordability, things of this nature.
Let's break it down, Juan. Let's look at a single mother with two or three children. Let's say rent minimum $600. You know, that's being climbing, right? Some places going for $750, $800.
$1,500?
Yeah, you got to take care of two, three children. You got to pay rent. You got to buy a grocery. You're trying to keep your light on. And your water bill if you don't have a pump. So, I mean, look at it, and you're only getting, what,
no comorbidities, because if you have any ailments,
you got no insurance.
This ain't exactly the additional bills and the unexpected.
Your
absolutely. You do have that. $210 is not acceptable. I agree with that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you, Juan?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. One question I want to ask you, neighbor town, how long you would say small business suffer during this pandemic?
What was the question again?
How long would you say that a small businessman suffered during this period, the pandemic?
It depends on the business. Okay. I saw the Tribune has a story today talking about preliminary findings of the IDB, right? And this is very serious stuff. And so their preliminary finding is that only 54% of the business that got the business continuity loans because of COVID are still operating. And so I think that the level of business closure, of business failure, and the level of unemployment, I think that it's been understated, as a matter of fact.
It has.
I asked a question, right? As a national insurance. You can hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I find it so unfair, right, that national insurance could come after small businesses during this pandemic who was not even, if it wasn't shut down completely, just barely making it. And the big businesses that owe them so many taxes and not paying, they refuse, they just let them get away. A small business person, they will tax you for years, and they will hold, you understand what I'm saying? Now, how is that there?
Now, I hear you, but I don't know that that's what's going on. But if that is what's going on, then it's not fair. All right. Thanks for calling. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. No? Okay. Not a problem. You can call us if you'd like. 323-6232 325-4316, 325-4259. It says, great show as usual. People making $210 a week should not have a sweetheart. You can't afford no sweetheart people with money. You can't afford no sweetheart with that. You might be the sweetheart making $210 a week.
Exactly. That's going to be my point.
It says, but we live in the real world, and that's a requirement. Qualifications and higher learning have a decent standard of life over and above minimum wage. You must do the work and be personally responsible for personal upliftment to an entitlement to a higher salary. That's fine. I don't think what people are saying is that they just want a higher salary on air. It's that they're saying that what's the point in having a job 40 hours a week you're putting into work and you can't survive on what you make.
Right.
Juan, should I call in to complain about these thin-skinned people who always call to complain about Anton? For Christ's sake, I'm so sick and tired of hearing their complaints. Let's stick to the topic, because much as they don't like Anton, he calls about the topic, they call about him. Ever hear the saying, intelligent people talk about ideas and small-minded people talk about other people? All right, fair enough. I can't spend another show talking about Anton's calling. Let's do the phone call, and then I got another one. It says, Juan, paying a grown adult $210/$250 in a highly inflated country with taxes always going up in all areas of their responsibilities is a joke. Are taxes always going up? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How's it going?
Wonderful. Great show so far. How serious is our government? Okay, we've got two key ministries that have got members that are appointed as ministers. That's Minister of Labor and Minister of Attorney General. Here it is. These two men, they don't care much about what they do, because whatever decision they make, it wouldn't affect them, because they won't be losing anything. No seats. Okay? It seems as if they get a position when the FNM wins or not. Okay? So what happens is that the Minister of Labor makes these precarious decisions, and here it is, the people that he's supposed to represent doesn't profit from it. And here it is, you've got the Director of Labor run around inside a red shirt. Who is serving the people? Okay, and another question for the Attorney General. How much money did you pay those two QCs for when you lost?
I know. Okay. Yeah. Labor Day. Let's keep it together. Tighten it up. All right. Says Juan, you owe me a live top up. I do. I told them it was a cell caller, and I ran out of minutes. I'll try to get it to you. I don't know. Let me just get through some of these texts, Dave. Okay. Unless you responded to them. It says Juan, let's all educate ourselves. Get degreed, and all elite who cleans, collect garbage, do menial work. Let's bear each other's burden. Okay, I gotta ask you a question. Well, you can make your point, then I have a question for you.
No, guys. I wanted to speak because I noticed this there to President Obie Ferguson. I just want to read number 5 here on the workers' agenda. It says government commitment to cost the resumption within 100 days the negotiation between the Bahamas Hotel Maintenance and Island Workers Union and Sandals Royal Bohemian Hotel and Spa, in accordance with the recognition agreement between the parties, as well as negotiations and execution of all industrial agreement in government and quasi-government organizations. You know, what happened at Sandals, to me, in my opinion, is pure union busting. You know, all those workers were let go.
That ain't no opinion. That's what happened.
That's yeah. Union busting. I also
hotel closed. The union.
I also don't agree at what happened at Malia, because those same furloughed workers were told to have faith, hang on, you know, things are going to get better. You're going to be back to work, and then the hotel said they're closing down for renovation. But the other travesty to that is that why couldn't the government agree for some job security that, you know, these same workers that you would have let go, that they have the opportunity to work back in the hotel and work in different areas. We hear that Bahama will be doing some hiring. They're opening up their water park very soon. And I must commend Bahama for paying their workers a percentage of their salary. They've been doing it from the beginning. I know it was 40%, and then they reduced it to 30%. And I was calling on Atlantis to do the same thing. You talk about the pension fund. There are three. There you have the health and welfare fund. You have the pension fund. You have the employee assistance funds. And these funds have millions of dollars in it. They are administrated by a board of trustees. And I don't see why, particularly in Atlanta, why a decision wasn't made to go into these funds and render some assistance to furloughed hotel workers. Assistance have been given to workers in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember during the recession.
The ex gratia payments given to the union from Atlantis?
But again, that is given when they feel like. Why can't it be on a consistent basis?
Fair enough.
It don't have to be 500, but at least it could. Because at the end of the day, you when you get it now, you don't know when you're going to get it.
Right.
Then I think they reduced it to $300, and now it's virtually stopped. Because remember now, even though Atlantis let go 700 workers, they're still. Hundreds of workers are still furloughed. And again, I think I'm calling, Lattice and the union, get together and render some assistance to these furloughed hotel workers. And the monies can come from those funds that has millions of dollars in it.
You had something to add to that?
Yeah, Vaughn. No, I really wanted to revert back to the text that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of persons are asking for people to go and educate themselves. And while I agree that everyone, as best they can, should go and educate themselves, because what's in your head, no one can take from you. But I grew up in an era where you always taught, where we were taught about curves. And so if everybody, like, and again, you talk about all chief and no Indians, if you have everybody educated? Are we prepared to pay those people for those education? Right now, we have a curve. You have some people, you have the janitors. If you have a janitor that is making X amount of money, if you're paying that janitor minimum wage, if that janitor goes and get a bachelor's degree, you think that janitor, he or she wants to remain a janitor?
Right.
Who's going to clean?
You're going to have to fill, somebody's got to take the line.
The maid who's cleaning your dirty house, washing your dishes, or the caretaker that is taking care of your baby, changing pampers, or taking care of the elderly that don't have a certificate. If they go and get educated. If someone, a caregiver, goes and becomes a professional caregiver, that means that they're educated in their field, they have the requisite health requirements or health certifications and stuff to actually perform their job, they're not gonna.
No. And I think, a college education is for everybody, exactly. But everybody should be able to have a decent standard of life. Okay, I gotta ask you this question before we get into something else. And I see your text, I'm gonna read them. The Minister of Labor yesterday spoke about a review of some employers mandating that their employees get vaccinated.
Right.
Now, let me finish. So a couple of things about that. The thing I found striking in his commentary is that he's saying now that employers should be having these discussions with employees about whether or not they're vaccinated and how they get there. And I think that you may be crossing a line there. And I also find it odd that he said he went around his ministry asking people if they were vaccinated. And then why not? Would you ask someone if they were on birth control? I mean, am I wrong here? What is your opinion on this?
My.
And what do you think about employers saying also that, and I kind of could see, what do you think employers saying that now the employee has to pay for the testing if they're not vaccinated? So tell me about those two things.
I have a serious issue with that because, and I guess someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a guru on this, so I'm still learning the process. But as far as I know, that these vaccines are still, they were only approved for emergency use.
No, you're right. They're still experimental.
So they have not been approved officially.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you forcing me to take something that is not approved. Mm-hmm. If you want to choose to take it, Juan McCartney, you take it.
Right.
But don't force that on me.
Well, and I don't think I should have to disclose it to you
I'm saying to you, as if, as with previous vaccines, they have been approved, they've been went through the proper testing, and they have been certified by the governing bodies that need to certify them, then I can see you saying, okay, and in order for you to do X, Y, and Z, you need to take this vaccine.
Right.
Well, but if you...
Like if you have school...
You are using an experimental drug.
Yeah.
And you're forcing me to take an experimental drug. And then if something happens to me, I'm the breadwinner of my two kids. The adults. But I have grandchildren. And I have... two elderly relatives that I take care of. So if something happens to me, who is then going to take over the responsibility?
So this is something just, that the union doesn't support.
Just to add, but first of all, it's unconstitutional. No employer has the right to make it mandatory that their employees take the vaccine. They can, I know, I think Bahama was given a half-day pay. Alanis was probably giving you free passes over the bridge. Yeah, incentivizing. Yeah, or you can ask them and encourage them.
Yeah, but some employers are now saying...
But to victimize them, to fire them, to threaten them...
It's getting deeper now, though, Dave, because some employers are now saying... I saw an advertisement for employees in the restaurant industry, and they said that only vaccinated people need to fly.
Well, let me say this. Mr. Ferguson said on an early show, he said, listen, if they want to do it the right way. Because at the end of the day, you force me... You tell me I have to take the vaccine. Then as an employee. So if something happens to me,
then what? Yeah,
you know?
I find it strange. And I find that I think we're moving very quickly, more quickly than I'm comfortable with, into just full-on groupthink, right? And so now it's get vaccinated because it's the right thing to do. Or get vaccinated because you won't get sick and you won't die. Get vaccinated because it protects other people. Now we're talking about get vaccinated because it's what God wants you to do. And now we're talking about...
I know. I may get some backlash for this because I'm a woman and so I may be labeled again as one of them rowdy women. But this is where I would stand and call for some of our attorneys and maybe led by persons who are objecting to take the vaccine themselves, but we can start a class action suit. We, as behemoths, we sit back and we are too laid back and we allow things to be shoved down our throat and we do nothing about it. This is something that is happening to us. And at the end of the day, we don't have any statistics. No government agency is providing us with the statistics of persons who would have died after they took this vaccine. And even if someone died, they try to classify that as a different circumstance of death.
I think we've been talking about it like in terms of, I don't know that we're having an honest conversation about it.
No, we're not.
In terms of there are inherent risks with any medication, and these vaccines are experimental in use. And that they have been associated with blood clots. They're not talking about... let me finish this. Renwood Wells is saying now that... and this isn't to do with labor, but now he's saying that they're looking to get Pfizer to give to people under 18 years. Who's going to give that to their child?
Exactly.
But the vaccine acts... I think it acts different in everybody's body. You know, for me, I may not do anything, but it may cause you all kind of problems.
Yeah, so yeah. I think you can encourage vaccination. You should go in with your eyes open, explain to people there are risks. The mandatory thing, I don't know that's a good place that we're going to with that.
Let's engage the trade union movement. Engage the leaders. Let's talk about it.
Let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side.
But vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details. Post your pictures with hashtag AtlantisStaycation for winning details.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Bonneville Bones is here for you, this and every Father's Day. So let's make Dad feel extra special with a statement in fashion. We have the best option for every occasion and your dad deserves
it. Make a statement in fashion, only at Bonneville Bones.
Leather shoes, we got it. Cufflinks, did you spot it? Chinos, linen, pocket piece, fresh shop with us, we got it. The best.
Bonneville Bones, located in the Mall at Marathon and Bay and George Street.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you will also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I'm going to get through the rest of these texts, the rest of your texts. I see we have a call. And I'll let you get the last word, guys. Sheree Benjamin from NCTV. Dave Beckford from the Bahamas General Workers Union. But I got to ask you this. You were planning a motorcade for tomorrow. You'd asked permission to have one. The Commissioner of Police... or the Royal Bahamas Police Force, anyway. I don't know anyone except the commissioner who could have authorized them to release this. The Royal Bahamas Police Force says that you have no permission, and if you do any motorcade, you'll be violating the emergency order. So what's that about?
Well, again, President Obie Ferguson and TUC, again, we don't see no reason why we can't have a motorcade. We were prepared and still is to let everybody know to come out, to stay in your vehicles, to start at a certain time, which is 9 o'clock. And we hope that before the end of the day that the commissioner and the competent authority will change their mind. Because of the day, this is for the workers, you know, and it really speaks to how this government in particular thinks about the workers in this country. You know, last year, nobody knew the impact that this virus would have on the economy and the tourism industry. So we all obliged and listened and worked with the competent authority. But, you know, here we are now. We're much better off than we were last year. And I don't see the reason why. I mean, persons are driving up and down every day.
Right now, you guys. Traffic.
And again, this is, we shouldn't even be talking about whether we could drive or not on the motorcade. I mean, there's so many other issues. There's so many problems. There's so many persons are hurting and so much uncertainty out there. And this is what we have to be talking about with the government in terms of this motorcade. It's just very, very sad. But I'm saying we are still, and I'm not saying that we want to break the law, we disrespecting the police, because I do support the police. I am a law-abiding citizen. But it's a real question as to why we can't have it. There was just a motorcade in the islands. The politicians are still having motorcades. Yep. They were escorted by two...
they got outriders, all this.
Outriders. Yeah. So, again, and this is why a lot of Bahamians, particularly young men, they have a problem with our court system and our judicial system, because they feel like there's one law for you and then there's a lot of law for me. And that's why we may have a lot of these problems we have in our country, man. At the end of the day, the law is the law. You can't permit a motorcade to happen in Eleuthera, but it can't happen in Nassau.
Yeah, makes no sense.
It could happen in Andrus, but it can't happen in Nassau. You know, either is either or either.
Right. Either you can have it or
you know what I mean? And again, I call and I beg and please, Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Commissioner of Police, please allow us to have a simple motorcade. We are sensible people.
No, because you don't want it to be the second year in a row.
It's the second year in a row. And look at what workers are going through.
And we know much more about COVID and safety and all this than we did last year. Let me just quickly go to the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
One.
Hi, good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
I had to run out to go put minutes on my phone. I put you on blast. But
no problem.
You understand me? Because apologies. I don't have a problem with Antoine, but you can't let him call twice at the expense of people like us on cell phone.
But I don't know that he's calling, though. I can't. I have no caller ID.
They won't let me, but we ain't going to run on.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now I'm going to start killing that, though, probably. But
now,
go ahead.
Let me tell you something. Today is as a former unionist and a unionist at heart, T-shirt, in the BCPRU and shop steward, that's the most crying I ever hear these women, especially the males, do in my life. And it's really pathetic. These unions, when last you see Clifford Darling them cry? These men can't even wear Clifford Darling them shoes. Ain't no crying. You ain't supposed to be crying to no government to have your parade tomorrow, brother. You insist them. If the police don't want to come out and assist you up at the parade, ain't nothing in the Constitution that you can't take your members out there on a holiday. Sometimes you gotta suffer the consequences in order to get where you want to go. If it was never to go to the government as union and ask them, oh, can you help us? Can you do this for us? That ain't supposed to be. You all need to stop coming in here crying and dribbling. You understand me? You all hold your members and you all deal with your members. I know five union leaders that gone from union into government and turn around and put their feet on the same members they swore to protect.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that today, but we don't have time. But yeah.
Well,
I said I wanted to talk about that today, but we don't have time. Yeah,
I know you don't have the time. You know, and that's wrong. You know, and the two which you had on this morning, what was on earlier this morning, especially one Bernard Evans, one of my presidents and stuff like that, they get too political. That's the reason why the government could turn around and tell yours, they ain't give you no letter yet. Do you know in Freeport already have their letter for the motorcade tomorrow? Why not? So can't get this. It's politics. Because them two union leaders would have been on earlier, but gone. It's on the next side. I see, I can say it. You can't say it. I can say it.
Okay.
They're on the other side. Obie Ferguson said years ago on national radio and TV that he will never lead a bunch of union members in Rawson Square against his government when it was in power. You think Dr. Minister ain't know that? And Bernard Evans was trying to get a nomination for the PLP a couple months ago, and he didn't get it.
Okay, well, I don't. I don't know Evans' business like that. But
that's all right. That's common knowledge.
Okay.
It ain't something that I talk about Evans. He can't defend himself. That's been in the papers. Bernard Evans wanted to run for Andrus. That is the problem with the unions today. The union leaders are compromised. And one, you said it correct. It's not the 1,000 members can't go negotiate. We send these union leaders to negotiate on our behalf, and they fail us.
All right.
That is the problem with the union today. And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see the lady in that studio?
Yes.
That lady, you're talking with more kahunas than the men. And if she ever come on this radio again and say she make an excuse for her being a woman, I'll probably come in there and flog her because she's doing a damn good job. Thanks for taking my call. Okay?
All right, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
Well,
appreciate that.
One thing I can say is the gentleman is entitled to his opinion. I certainly did not say we are not going to have the motorcade or we're canceling it. You know, again, I'm a law-abiding citizen, so I don't see nothing wrong with, again, pleading to the competent authority, the Commissioner of Police, to grant us permission, but it doesn't say that we're not going to do what we need to do.
All right, let's go one more call, and then we'll try to wrap up with these texts. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, Frank, how's it going?
Okay. It's a little tough for the last 2 weeks, but I'm okay.
Oh, okay.
I would just like to say my 1 cent or 5 cents worth.
Sure.
Unionists are Bahamian, and they are entitled to the same rights and privileges as any other Bahamian. Because you are a trade union does not mean you should not run for parliament if you so desire. Check all of the Commonwealth countries and you'll find trade unionists in parliament. You even find religious leaders, Reverend Dr. Rogers, an Anglican priest in Barbados, is a senator. Leroy Trotman, former head of the Barbados Workers' Union, who was honored at the ILO in 2019, is a former senator. And you go down through history. Why? Because issues overlap. They're workers' issues, but they're issues of the Bahamian people. And there are those who can express themselves to try and uplift the workers of the country. And once they uplift the workers, all are uplifted because they are all on the same boat. The SS Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So I don't agree with your last caller. And this thing about selling out, that is absolutely foolish and silly. One pays to the best of their ability. We all have our shortcomings because we are imperfect. When we find a perfect man, then let's make him a saint.
Yeah,
I agree. Only men and women. I disagree with some things. The time doesn't permit what was said about the pandemic and monetary shock. But I do believe the employer has the right to set reasonable employment for new employees, but cannot change the terms and conditions of employment for current employees.
That's interesting. No, I appreciate your perspective. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't need to talk about labor and politics. Randall Fox brought about majority rule because of his being in Parliament. The Labor Party is huge in UK. Coakley, come on.
Sir Clifford Dallin, all we're saying is that we would like to have trade unionists around the table. Now, yes, we may be disappointed that some of our former leaders have transitioned from the trade union movement into government, and maybe industrial relations haven't been that good, or, you know, the people may see some weakness or where they think that in certain areas that there should be improvement because we have labor leaders at the table. But again, it's still a struggle. It's a continuous struggle, and we're going to continue to work towards that goal, making sure.
And for that, I would say the labor movement getting together and forming their own party.
Right.
If you want to make changes, form your own party.
Yeah.
We have around the Caribbean, we have active labor leaders who are senators in their parties, in their countries, in the parliament. And so there's no reason why we can't pursue political careers. That's not for me, but I'm saying anybody who wants to do it.
Yeah, you're right as a Bahamian.
They have their rights.
I think more the concern is, and we got to wrap up here, I think more the concern is that, or maybe not concern, but I think more the question is, can the former labor leaders who become government bureaucrats perform fairly in their position? And I think that's maybe a concern. As far as politics goes, that happens. But I'll give you guys the last word.
Just want to say that I want to commend Mr. Obi Ferguson and TUC, along with the NCTU. Like I said, we have a workers' agenda that we have presented to the opposition. And this agenda can be available to all those who are seeking to lead this country in the next general election. We say you for me, I for you. So again, as far as I'm concerned, we still plan to do our motorcade tomorrow, Lord's willing, encouraging everybody to come out. I am optimistic. And we want to say a happy Labor Day to all the workers in this country. And I want to send a special shout out to those security officers who really worked really hard and, you know, trying to keep lines and people in control. A lot of time they're overlooked. And the ladies and gentlemen at the gas stations, you know, but you want to say happy Labor Day to all. And we're going to continue to work hard as we can to ensure that the workers' rights are protected.
Ms. Benjamin, you got 60 seconds there?
Okay, I want to say happy Labor Day to everybody, all the workers in the country, everybody in the country, happy Labor Day. Yes. I also would like to petition to the competent authority, because I can't blame the Commissioner of Police. I have the latest at the feet of the competent authority. What message are you sending to the workers of this country?
Exactly.
All right,
give
thanks.
Us the march and give us the march. Give us the motorcade. And if at the end of the motorcade or any given point you see someone breaking the laws, then you deal with that person. But if we're sticking to the being seated in the vehicles, not coming out, not socializing, there shouldn't be any problem.
And we're celebrating.
Allow
60 years.
The workers to do what they've been doing for the last 60 years and celebrating ourselves.
Yes.
All right. Well, you guys take care out there. Thank you, Sheree Benjamin and Dave Beckford for coming on. Take care out there, you guys. Enjoy your holiday as best you can. Be good to each other. And Lord willing, we'll be back on Monday to talk about different things going on around the country. You guys take care out there and have a great weekend, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.